you complete your teacher training and you put some videos up on a platform and you suddenly think people are going to come, and then people don't come, and new teachers are like, oh, why? And then they give up, but they don't realize like the amount of kind of hustle and hard work and consistency that goes into like growing that community.
Welcome to the Digital Yogi Podcast. I am Charlotte Reynolds, a digital strategy and ads coach. I help ambitious yoga and wellness experts to scale and grow through the power of online. In this podcast, I welcome on guests who have achieved something amazing, and I ask them exactly how they did it, so you can learn practical strategies that you can implement into your own business. In today's episode, I welcome on Bex Blaker. She went from teaching hot yoga classes in her kitchen, well, not quite, but we will come on to that, to creating a thriving online membership community. This episode is for you if you are a yoga teacher, a Pilates instructor, and you have or you want to start an online membership.
I still find it quite bizarre, actually, that I'm sat here talking about having a yoga business and being a yoga teacher. I mean, if you'd have said that to me 10 years ago, I would have laughed in your face and said, absolutely no way. At that point, I was kind of stuck on the whole kind of corporate ladder, working in banking, long hours, stressful job. Sort of tried yoga a few times, but it was just a bit slow for me. I like to do like HIIT training and boxing and all that kind of stuff, long distance running. And the yoga that I tried at the time, I just hadn't found my fit with it. Fast forward like a couple of years from that, and I left the city to pursue a career in fitness and wellness and became a personal trainer. And it was really at that stage that I actually finally found my flow, shall we say, with yoga. And I really got into hot yoga, because since I like started doing all the personal training, I was like training hard, and needed something that wasn't training or wasn't running to do to chill me out. So I found hot yoga, because I suppose I like the fact with hot yoga that there's still that element that it's quite challenging. For like my personality type at the time, that's kind of what I needed. But I mean, I live out in Essex, and at the time there was like nothing local. So I was driving miles and miles to find hot yoga. And then we basically like did this massive renovation project on where we're living. And previously I used to have a PT studio in the garage. And we were doing all this renovation work. And I was going to put a PT studio in. And then I kind of had like this brainwave one day where I was like, hang on a minute, I'm getting really into this yoga thing. I'm really feeling the benefits. I am driving all over for it. Why don't I do my training? And kind of looked into how hard or easy it would be to put a hot studio in the house.
I mean, I just love this so much. I love this. I remember when we first met, because just to give a little bit of context, Bex and I first met when you joined one of my very first live rounds of Master the Gram. Mm-hmm. And I remember when you said, I have a hot yoga studio basically in your kitchen or next to your kitchen. I was this is madness.
It was basically my old kitchen. So when we redid the house, like we flipped everything around, and it made the most sense to put it there just in terms of where it was located in the house. So yeah, in my old kitchen where I used to, you know, make my dinner is where I now teach the hot yoga. Yeah, so I just decided, you know, why not? There was a gap in the market. I really enjoyed doing it. So I did, I put it in, and then, you know, it really took off. I mean, it's not a big studio, as you can imagine. It's like I don't live in like some mansion.
Yeah, how many people does it fit?
Yeah, it's always been six. Like during like COVID times, I had to reduce it a little bit, but now it's back up to six. It's quite a nice number, because you can like spend time like one-on-one really with everyone that comes to your classes, and they kind of get to know each other. So it builds that really nice sense of community.
So I guess when lockdown happened and everybody started to transition online, you already had that experience of growing a community, that experience of building a class from scratch.
Yeah.
So when we did start to take things online, how did that work? Did they follow you online, or was it starting again from scratch and finding a whole new audience?
when we went into lockdown, the studio had probably been open 6 months and it was just kind of like getting to capacity, and I felt like I'd really just like cracked it. So I was absolutely devastated, and I'm not gonna lie to you, I probably spent like 24 hours in bed, like crying, like thinking like everything, like, you know, just being really like, look back, like quite pathetic. But you know, after a day, sort of dusted myself up, picked myself up, and thought, well, what am I going to do? And I kind of thought, and people were going online, and I was like, oh, but it's not hot, like, so how will people get that hot yoga experience from home? I couldn't really get it. But then I thought, well, I'm gonna have to do something, A, to keep myself sane, and B, really to keep the community that had been coming to the classes just like in the habit of doing yoga, regardless of whether it was hot or not. So yeah, I literally just set up like a Zoom account and started doing basically just free daily yoga for the people in my community. And then gradually it kind of grew just from word of mouth in the first instance. So yeah, it really grew from there, from the initial kind of community that I already had to like a wider community. The thing that I find interesting now is that kind of that original community of people that came to my hot studio, and actually now they're coming back to in-person classes, right? They kind of love the hot and what have you. So now I can have like two communities. I have like the hot community and then a completely different and a new community that I didn't even have before, and I hadn't even dreamt that I would ever do anything online like this.
Which do you prefer? Do you prefer the in real life, your studio and your house, or do you prefer teaching online? Because you have a membership and also you teach live classes as well.
Yeah.
Which of those is more your cup of tea?
I really love the online teaching, to be honest. I love teaching live online. I love that feeling of connection. And for me, it sounds really bizarre, but I feel like I get a deeper connection with the people that join me in my online classes than I do in my studio classes. And I think it's to do with the fact that it's kind of, you're looking a little bit deeper into their lives, right? Because you're seeing into their homes, you might meet their children, their pets, their partners. And I just feel like it fosters a deeper sense of connection, and even and amongst the group as well. So they all feel like they know each other a bit better, rather than just coming to a class in a studio once a week. You'll have a quick chit chat before and after, and then that's it. And the other thing I love about online is that I film all of my classes. So then that's just content that's there forever. So then that feeds into my membership space. So it's kind of, you know, with a studio class, it's like I teach the class and that's that. Like it's kind of one opportunity to earn revenue, I suppose, from that class. Whereas with the online side, it's ongoing opportunities to reach more people and make more revenue.
And now you've also taken on another role, like that wasn't enough. And now you're involved with the Cooler platform. Well, I actually first heard about Cooler back in 2020 when I interviewed one of the founders, Marielle.
And this is how I found out about Cooler from this podcast.
Is it? That's how you found from this podcast?
Yes.
Circle
of life.
And so, I interviewed Marielle and we spoke a little about Cooler. I also then went to work with you guys, like collaborate with you in hosting a series of workshops for your teachers about how to sell themselves, about ads, about Instagram. And so I feel like we've got this kind of like connection between this platform and then this podcast. So tell me about your role there. What made you decide, from hearing about it, how did you get involved in working in the Cooler platform? And what made you decide that actually you wanted to do something else outside of just teaching?
Yeah, well, I mean, I found out about Cooler by listening to this podcast. So Cooler is like a one-stop platform for yoga teachers and for any other type of wellness professional, really, to run their businesses online and in person. So it's a great place if you want to build that community, build that membership space. It's a really beautiful and supportive community of teachers and people behind the scenes, like running the tech and all that side of stuff, are just super, super helpful. And because it's so focused on the wellness space, You find that like all the features and what have you that are being built are just really well thought out with yoga teachers in mind, whereas some of the kind of the other platforms out there, they kind of focus on lots of different industries, I suppose, so they're not quite as specific and nicely built for us as teachers.
It allows you to stream and host your classes, but it has a lot more features than just doing Zoom. It makes the whole thing
exactly
easier, so bookings.
Exactly. So when I say platform, I mean kind of over and above Zoom. So I mean something that integrates everything, where people can book and pay and stream your videos and join your live classes, and it's all encompassed within the one platform, as opposed to me having Zoom over here, me having like a PayPal account over here or a Stripe account, me having like maybe like an Instabook or
get me started on Stripe.
Oh right, yeah. But yeah, Kula tries to take the headache away and wrap everything up into one. I'm a bit of a perfectionist, and I'm always on the lookout for ways to improve the experience for my students of interacting with me. Ever since I went online, the thing that we're developing that gets me really excited is a complete replacement for Zoom, right? A replacement for Zoom, a player that's built for teachers. So like nice HD video, like nice HD video recordings that will like upload directly into your platform, like some really, really lovely features. So joined quite casually, I suppose, part-time, and then quickly got sucked in, but in a very good way, because I'm kind of like an all or nothing person. So I got involved, and it's just a really exciting platform and team to be a part of in terms of like what we're trying to do and what we're trying to build. So yeah, I kind of quite quickly went from part-time to full-time to now kind of running the sales and business development side of things for the platform. So all of my classes are scheduled on Kula. Obviously the in-person class isn't streamed, the hot class, but I've had to cut down particularly my hot classes, but I still teach three online classes a week, but that's kind of what makes it good for me being in the position that I'm at Kula, because I use the platform so much myself as a teacher. That gives me like great insights into like what's working, what's not working. And when teachers are going to come in with problems or questions, I'm kind of quite well placed to help and to kind of guide the future development of the product.
I want to take a moment here to share with you a very special offer, giving you the chance to test out the Kula platform for free for yourself. Kula provides you with a beautiful and well-designed space to host your live classes and house all of your content. They handle all of the technical stuff like bookings and payments, video hosting, so that you can focus on teaching, on content creation, and on growing your community. So if you want to have a free trial, go to kula.tv and use the code DY1221 when you sign up. That's DY1221.
Yeah, because I guess you've got that experience of building a community, and especially when it comes to a membership or a subscription type model, like you have to start with community. And I do think now it is teachers that did start, maybe who were teaching in real life first and had that community, almost did get a little bit of a head start.
Yeah.
But also are kind of used to the kind of strategies and activities you have to do to build that community.
Yeah.
And, you know, students aren't going to come to you from nowhere without being proactive about it.
No,
and
definitely.
Actually a big part of being a teacher is doing that sales and marketing stuff that
100%.
Actually you don't really realize until you get going. You're like, right, well, I've got these videos on my platform. How now am I going to get people to practice with me over anyone else? Because being online, really people have a lot of choice. They have a choice of a lot of free classes on YouTube.
Yeah,
they
of course. Yeah.
Have access to teachers all over the world. So on that note, you have built a community that has stuck with you now from the beginning, and you are still attracting new people to you. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to someone who has a membership and thinks, I just want to get some more members in? How can I attract new members into my platform?
Yeah, I mean, I think you make a great point, right? You complete your teacher training and you put some videos up on a platform and you suddenly think people are going to come, and then people don't come, and new teachers are like, oh, why? And then they give up, but they don't realize like the amount of kind of hustle and hard work and consistency that goes into like growing that community. So I think first things first, I would always start with like your inner circle, your network. Like those are the people that are going to show up to your classes, that are going to speak very highly of you and are going to recommend to other people. So start with that. And then if everyone that's coming to your class, if you can get them to recommend it to somebody else, then, you know, that word of mouth effect grows. But you have to be consistent, right? And this is sort of coming back to people popping some videos up and not working and then giving up. You have to be persistent. And often, you know, it's not actually the best teachers out there that are the most successful. And this kind of translates to many different areas of life and business. It's the people that keep showing up and the people that are consistent and persistent. So if you say you're going to be online 3 days a week at this time, show up. And if only one person comes, only one person comes. But guess what? You've recorded the class and okay, it'll be a class in your on-demand library. All is not lost. But you have to keep showing up. And I think having that perseverance is really important, and kind of it not getting too downtrodden when the numbers aren't massive all the time. And making your community feel special, right? So why would they come to you when they can go and do like a million yoga with Adrienne videos on YouTube for free? Like, what are they getting from coming to you? So you have to work out like how much you're willing to give as a teacher and as a human, and you know what time you can give to it. And there's a few like little sort of tactics that, or not tactics really, but things that I do to try and make my community feel really special. And the first one of those is like, give them access to you, right? Because yes, they can go and do a video on YouTube, but they don't have that interaction, that access. So you can do it on social media if you don't necessarily want people to have a WhatsApp group for argument's sake, and you don't really want people to have your number so that they can talk to you all the time. Use Instagram or Facebook to create that community. And that's kind of one of the things that I use my Instagram for, and this will sort of comes back to the awesome course that I did with you, right? Mastering the Gram, which we did, was that like April, May last year?
Oh gosh, you were like in one of my first rounds in back in 2020, and when you said, oh, I'm an all or nothing kind of girl, I was like, I can completely see that. You were so in on that course, like extra homework,
it's all in.
Like doing things that weren't even like asked of you. Like, I've created this whole, I've bought a new whiteboard and I've written all this out and I have this. So I was like, wow, star student here.
Yeah, well I loved it. And this kind of touches upon one of my other points and how like to be successful in creating that space and creating the membership space and getting people to come to classes is you have to be prepared to invest in yourself and invest in your business. And that's something that I've always been quite passionate about in terms of developing myself in areas that I'm not skillful in. So I had like no clue about social media or Instagram. And I felt kind of quite nervous about it and a bit like, ooh, I don't really want to put myself out there. It's a bit yuck, it's a bit ick. But doing your course, I have to say it like 100% like completely changed my outlook on social media, what I use it for, why I'm using it, why I'm now no longer like worried or embarrassed or about putting stuff up there, because I view it as part of my business and actually a really key tool in building that community. So I don't get obsessed with having like how many followers I've got, or I don't have very many in the grand scheme of things, but guess what? Most of those people engage with me and most of those people buy from me in one way or another. And that's what
I think
important to me.
Yeah, that's super important, is to know that the number of followers that you have, although obviously having an audience there in the first place is gonna make it easier to sell things,
yeah,
but number of followers is not the be all and end all. It's better to have 100 followers that actually engage with you and are interested in what you're doing and come to your classes versus 100,000 and it's like tumbleweed and nobody's actually sold in on what you're doing.
Exactly. I mean, I also have a WhatsApp group for people in my membership, just because I think that's just a really nice way of building the community. Yeah. And then it gets to the stage where at first, like, I'm the one kind of putting things in it a lot of the time, and it doesn't have to, most of it's not even yoga related, right? It's all sorts of random whatever. But now it's the members that kind of bring most of the chat and most of the content, and it's a nice way for them to engage with each other, and bear in mind they're all over the country and like in different parts of the world, and so it's just been a really nice way for them to connect as well.
Yeah, I love that as an idea, having a WhatsApp group. It's a very personal way of of bringing people together, a community.
Definitely. And one of the things we're building and hope to be releasing, well, we will be releasing early next year, is that kind of group chat function within the Kula platform. So for those people that don't, you know, because a lot of people don't like WhatsApp groups anymore because it's kind of there all the time and they're in so many groups or whatever. And
people are against WhatsApp in general.
Yeah. And against Facebook groups. I mean, everyone's just kind of, not everyone likes it. So to build an in platform group messaging service that's like WhatsApp, but where you don't have to have it like popping up on your phone all the time. You connect with it when you want to, as a student and as a teacher. You don't have to share.
So the teachers to connect with their students rather than each other?
Yeah, both.
Okay.
So but for teachers to connect with their students, with their communities, and then for their students to be able to connect with each other as well.
Okay. And so you mentioned about, you know, really starting with those core fans, those people that are going to recommend you, making sure that they feel special and valued.
Yeah.
In what ways can someone do that?
So there's a number of different ways. I mean, a couple of things that I do on a regular basis. Well, every month I hold this, it's quite silly, I think, but it's a random prize draw, right? Everyone that's a member gets entered into it. And I have merchandise as well, which I also, I think, is a great way of quickly and easily like getting your brand and getting your name out there and making people feel part of that community and special. So you see, got it on today, always on brand.
Yeah, love it. It's quite subtle.
It's not too in your face. But yeah, so I have a load of these and vests and various bits and bobs with Yoga 319, which is the yoga brand, on. And every month I run a competition for my students, and I pick someone random, or Darren, my husband, who's kind of like, you know how Adrienne has like her dog? Like, is
he's the like mascot.
Darren's like my mascot. He'll absolutely kill me. He's going to absolutely kill me. So we do a little thing on Instagram and we pick someone's name out of the hat and everyone gets involved, and then all of the members who've won, or some people like are so desperate for them, they just buy the top anyway, and then they'll all show up to class and they'll have like their vest top on with the Yoga 319 on.
I love it.
So little things like that, and then around Christmas time I do things like, if you're a subscriber, then I give you as your Christmas gift the gift of a month subscription to give to somebody else. So it's quite clever, really, because all my members feel like they're getting a present, and it looks like, and to the person that they're giving it to, it will look like they've paid for the subscription, right? But I've given them that subscription as their Christmas gift to then re-gift to somebody else.
I like that.
So that's really good from two points, for making like people feel like special and valued, and also for like getting more people into your membership.
I love that. That's something that a lot of people could actually implement.
Yeah.
Because not just for Christmas, like.
No, exactly. Because, and this is the great thing about online, right? Because realistically, that doesn't cost you anything. If I give free places away in my studio, that costs me money, right? In terms of like lost revenue, in terms of the heating bills, etc. But because online, once you kind of paid for your setup and all your kind of fixed costs, like anyone incremental is just like incremental income. So it doesn't cost you anything to do that. So if you're kind of looking at your marketing budget, it's like a really cheap, free way to do some marketing.
Yeah, amazing. Because I think often we do spend a lot of time thinking about how to get new people in. How am mm-hmm. I going to fill up the top of my funnel? Mm-hmm. How am I going to get in front of lots of new people? Mm-hmm. And obviously that's important. You need to be constantly reaching new people mm-hmm. in order to then have people to nurture and then eventually convert into becoming a customer.
Yeah.
But it's also important to give focus to that bottom part of the funnel, encouraging
totally.
People to continue to be clients. It's much easier to upsell to someone or keep a client than it is to find 100%. A brand new one.
100%. And I think that's something that people forget sometimes. They get so focused on bringing new people in that actually all of a sudden, like, their loyal client base starts to dwindle a little bit because they haven't been focused on giving a really, really good experience for those people. And actually, if they focus a little bit more on giving those people a really good experience, and guess what, they're going to be your biggest advocates, right? And you can even get them, ask for their help as well. You know, the people that are really big fans, ask for their help. You know, say that I'm really trying to grow this, is there anything you could do? Could you recommend me to some friends? Could you talk about it at work? Or, and they will want to help you, right? Because if they love your classes, they'll be afraid that actually if you're not successful, then you'll have to go and do something else and you'll stop teaching yoga because it's just not a viable career for you, right? So if they really love you that much as a teacher, then actually it's within their interests as well to support and promote you, because otherwise, you know, it's not going to pay the bills.
Yeah, exactly. And how do you see your business growing in the next year, 2 years? Obviously, it's so hard to know, because who'd have thought years ago, this is what we'd be doing.
I know.
But what is your plan to scale and grow? Because like you said, I mean, an online business, it's super scalable.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
Getting that incremental growth.
Yeah.
So what's your plan? Where do you see the business? Do you see it going from online to almost then back offline with retreats or whatever that might be? How's it all going to work?
I know. I mean, this is it's such an interesting question, because like you say, I mean, 3 years ago, if you just said you're gonna be sat on a podcast with the Digital Yogi talking about growing an online business, I'd be like, you're mad. But hey, that's kind of the beautiful thing about life, right? Is you don't actually know what's around the corner, and it's actually kind of how quick you adapt is also a big part of how successful that you can be. And in the future, there's various kind of different avenues open to me, I suppose. I would love to continue to scale the online side of my business, because I think, you know, you have the potential to reach and help so many more people. And Kula joined forces with another fitness tech company quite recently. So very shortly, we're going to be integrating an app into the Kula platform as well, which is super exciting, and also going to be a really great way for teachers to be able to scale their online businesses in kind of a completely different way. But the retreats thing is interesting as well to me. And actually, I have a captive audience. My students and members are already asking me all the time, when are you going to do a retreat? When are you going to do a retreat?
I think you're in Ibiza.
Yes, well, I know that would be, you know how much I love it there. It'd be the obvious place for me to do one. I would absolutely love it. And we could co-host one in some way.
Ooh.
There's cogs turning. So I'm going to be spinning a few plates, I think. But yeah, I mean, definitely my online business is here to stay.
For anybody who is thinking about joining a platform that takes away a lot of the, you know, the heavy lifting, all the admin and the tech and everything like that, or someone who's just starting to think about taking their classes online, mm-hmm. what advice would you give them?
I would say just start, actually. Mm-hmm. Because I think I think what happens is a lot of new teachers or new to online, it's very easy to become quickly overwhelmed by A, the number of platforms out there, the different ways of doing it, all the different tech, the cameras, the microphones, and just get started. Like, I mean, and Kula's great for that, right? Because there's no upfront investment, there's no contracts or what have you. You can just create a channel and you can go. You don't even need your own Zoom account. Like, it's all integrated. So it's like really the perfect place if you're not, if you're kind of like not sure what to do. So I would start there, and then just get your friends to come to your classes, like market it amongst your inner circle. And then once you kind of got like the hang of it a little bit and got the hang of the tech, and maybe you're starting to get more people into your classes, then, you know, maybe look at reinvesting in yourself, in the business, in your tech and what have you. But don't feel like you have to go out and shell out a load of cash on lights and cameras and what have you. Like, most of the time, like an iPhone or a smartphone, like, it's kind of all you need. If you have a computer, what have you, wonderful, but you don't even really need that. So I think it's like, don't procrastinate, don't overthink it, just get started.
And so if somebody did want to come and try one of your classes, in your kitchen, in your home studio or online, how would they do that?
Well, everything is on my website, which is yoga319.com, or you can find me on Instagram. And I have to remember this because I changed my Instagram name recently, on the back of your advice. And it's now, I believe, at Bex_Blaker. And all the information's on there as well. And you can get to the website from there.
Amazing. And thank you so much for joining me and sharing all of your knowledge about community and memberships, because I know there's a lot of people that listen to this podcast that have memberships and obviously would love even more people in their community. So I think that those tips and that advice that you've given is going to be really, really helpful, really practical advice as well.
Oh, you're more than welcome. It's been a pleasure. I really, really enjoyed it. I always like catching up with you, Charlotte.
That was the brilliant Bex of Yoga319 and Kula.tv. Now, like I said, if you want to give the Kula platform a try, every listener of this podcast is going to be given 1 month's free trial. So go to Kula.tv and use the code TDY1221 and you can test the platform out for yourself. As always, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. And if you do enjoy it, please do leave me a review, tell your friends, and I'll see you for the next episode.